So from Philippians 2, we're going to read verse 5 to 11. And there the Apostle Paul wrote this to the church in Philippi. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, as we celebrate Christmas today, we have great joy because Jesus was born on earth. But we could ask, why? Why did he come? And the Bible gives us various answers for that, of course, and all different angles at this great plan of salvation. But here, from these verses in Philippians, we see also one of the whys, that it is part of a much greater plan of God. A plan to save us. Jesus came on a rescue mission. He came to this earth for rebels, for sinners, for people like you and me. Enemies of God by nature. Wayward, wanting to do our own thing, thinking we're quite something. And now Paul wrote these verses to a church in Philippi, a group of people who had just maybe a few years before heard the good news about Jesus, about his coming into the world. And they now gathered to worship him. And so Paul sent them a letter to teach them about Jesus, to teach them about the life of the church, about our lives as Christians. And in chapter 2 then, he starts to speak about how the church is to be one, united, and serving each other in humility. And in verse 5, where we started our reading, he then says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. We should have the same mindset as Jesus. But the verses that then follow are so much more than a good example. So much more that has Paul packed in these few verses about who Jesus is, about what he came to do. Truths that are to be believed, to be amazed by, to be stunned by, to be changed by. So we're this morning not looking at one of the classic nativity stories from the Gospels, but I want to just say something about these few verses here in Philippians to show something of that rescue plan of God. A rescue plan that has the goal of bringing you and me, sinful people, back to relationship with him. To worship him, to live with God. And that's what verse 11 points us to, that in the end, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But the road to that glory for Jesus was a road through a very deep valley of suffering, of humbling, of humiliation. So let's have a brief look at these verses. See how much Jesus did for you and me, and how great God's love is in sending his Son for us. And I pray then that this might really give us a great desire to worship him more, to praise him, to love this Savior. For the first time today, perhaps, for some of you, or for the many times before, since many times before, but now with a renewed depth and intensity as we see even more of who Jesus is. First, then, he was humbled for a season. If you still have your Bibles open with me, look at verse 6, page 830, verse 6 of Philippians 2. There Paul says, Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. That's where we have to start. Paul is so clear from the start, Jesus is God. Jesus was God, he is God. He is in very nature God, and equality with God he speaks of. Just like the Apostle John wrote, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's where we must start, with God himself. This rescue plan couldn't be done by anyone else. God needed to intervene in world history. He needed to do something. God then sent his Son. The Son came to this world. The Word became flesh. And Paul then says, Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to be held for his own advantage. What does that mean? Well, verse 7 continues. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Well, that's what we are celebrating today. That coming to this world, that humiliation of Jesus. And that sounds weird, doesn't it? That we celebrate someone's humbling, someone's humiliation. But that's what it is. But when we think of humiliation, we might think of, well, you are very badly defeated in a sports match. Oh, I was humiliated, you might say. Or when we think of humiliation, you think of shame and doing something really stupid and shameful, and then think, oh yeah, that was a humiliating experience. But that isn't the sort of humiliation that Jesus did. He didn't do something stupid. He didn't do something shameful. He didn't lose. What this humiliation means is taught to us very helpfully in the context. If you just look back at verse 3 and 4, Paul instructs these Christians about how to live towards each other, how their relationships should be. And he says this, Philippians 2 and verse 3, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." And then he continues verse 5, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus." So what sort of humiliation did Jesus have? Well, he looked to others. He had the benefit, the good of others in view. And that's why he chose to come down, to stoop so low. This is the kind of humility, the humbling, the humiliation that Jesus did, that Jesus shows for us. Not seeking shame or not seeking a low place just for the sake of it. That's not true humility, but all he did, it was for others. It was for others, for you and me. He sought our interest, not his selfish ambition. Isn't that amazing then? The God who made the universe, we sang it in the hymn before, the God who has the stars in his hands, who made the universe, who upholds every single one of our lives, every second, he came to be like us. Living like us, just an ordinary human person. The same in everything except sin, says the Bible. It's so low, it's such a humbling. Doesn't that show his incredible love for you and me? With another hymn that we'll sing again tomorrow, hopefully. "Lord, you were rich beyond all splendor, yet for love's sake became so poor. You are our God beyond all praising, yet for love's sake became a man, stooping so low, but sinners, you and me, raising heavenwards by your eternal plan." In this time of year, we often think of the very lowly, humble circumstances that Jesus was born in. We think of the manger. We think of no place for him otherwise to stay. A tiny village maybe, unfamous parents. Just a young woman and a carpenter. But the humiliation really is found in the infinite difference between God and us human beings. Just imagine, if Jesus would have been born in the grandest palace, was laid in the luscious king-size bed, had a whole line of servants waiting to attend to him, that would be only a tiny difference in how low he stooped compared to the situation it is now, with this manger, with shepherds coming, with an unknown father. Becoming human, that was the big step down. All those other practicalities as such, they would hardly make a difference. And then so often we think, well, we're quite something. You might consider yourself too good for a dirty job to do. Or, I'm too skilled for that boring project. I don't do that little task. Maybe you've heard a kid say, why do I need to do that? Why do I need to do it? Or you travel through some part of the city and say, oh, I wouldn't want to live there. So often we think ourselves of, well, we're quite something. We are so inclined to become proud. Think so much of ourselves. But then think about who Jesus was, the equality with God that he had. And he stooped so low. And he became weak and limited, fragile, a human being. He chose that role. The Father sent and he went. For love's sake, he became a man. So that infinite glory, equality with God, he didn't hold on to it. He didn't use it for his own advantage, but he made himself nothing, says Paul. Humbled himself by taking on human nature. Now, to be sure, that doesn't mean that he stopped being truly God for even a single second. The universe would have stopped existing if that was the case. Jesus, as someone said, Jesus remained what he was, truly God, but became what he was not, truly man. And I know this is really difficult to understand. Our brains can't comprehend how that works and just how that fits together. Truly God, truly man, yet united in that one person, Jesus. It's not something that we should try and unravel and try to wrap our finite minds around. But it's something that we should hold on to by faith. Because this is what the Bible teaches. This is who Jesus is. And this was needed to save you and me. This was God's rescue plan. God the Son being born as a human boy. But then, well, I started. Why Christmas? Where did this go? Well, look at verse 8 with me. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. So, even after that humiliation of coming down all the way from the glory of being God to this world, the road went further down and down. He lived his whole life, some 33 years, in a broken world, surrounded by sinners, surrounded by people who rejected him, who ignored him, who opposed him, surrounded by misunderstanding, by apathy, by insults, by rejection. And it led all the way to his arrest at the end of his life, being innocently condemned, killed on the cross. But all the way he was obedient. He became obedient to death. All the way he did not sin. He lived the perfect life. So you could say Jesus was born to die. That's why he came. He became because the death of a human being was needed. That was the penalty we should be paying for our sin. But he was God because the death of a mere man could not save anyone else. Could not even save that own person. He came to die as a man. The cradle, the manger, leads to the cross. That's where it was heading, right from the start. That cross is looming over the manger. And this wasn't some unexpected turn. This wasn't like an uncertainty or risk that Jesus took. Well, I'm becoming a man and then, oh, whoa, that cross is suddenly there. No, this was right there from the start. His choice. He came to die so he could save you and me. He took the very nature of a servant, said Paul. And Jesus indeed said about himself, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. But then, verse 9, therefore, because that wasn't the end of the story, of course. That's what we know, what we can read in the Bible. That's why we can celebrate today. Jesus didn't stay dead when he died on the cross, but he rose from the dead on the third day. And that's why he is truly the Savior, to be worshipped, to be followed. And the question then is, he was humbled for a season, but is he your Lord? Let's read verse 9. Therefore, because of this obedience all the way to death, this humbling, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, because of Jesus' obedience all the way to death, all the way to the cross, where he cried out, "It is finished." Therefore, God has given him the highest honor of all, the glory. Jesus rose from the dead. He defeated sin, death, and the devil. And because of that, the goal is that every single human being, you and I, that we would bow the knee in worship. That's what Paul here says. Every knee should bow. He came as a servant, but is now Lord of all. He rules as king, and one day every knee will bow. And the question to us then this Christmas morning is, what is your response to Jesus? Are you humbled and amazed by this news, by this good news of great joy, by such love for you? He was humbled for a season, but is now Lord of all. One day, every knee will bow and worship. And the question is then, will you do that as a defeated enemy, grudgingly bowing the knee, because you have to acknowledge that he indeed is Lord? Or will you join us, all true Christians? Will you join them in bowing now already and giving your whole life, worshiping today? Because he is your Savior, your Lord. That you can do that as a forgiven son or daughter of God. With great thanksgiving that all that Jesus did for you, believe him, believe what he did, and you will be saved. That's the message of the Bible. That's the good news of great joy that we've received this morning. What a Savior, right? You can belong to him through faith. And dear Christians, if God has given you so much, his own Son, will he not with him graciously give us all things? What a joy, what a hope we have. What glory awaits us. Isn't this the great joy that we need to live our lives, to celebrate today? Whatever goes on around us, this is the joy, the good news. All because of that baby that born in Bethlehem. One classic hymn says this, it's at the name of Jesus. Humbled for a season, to receive a name from the lips of sinners unto whom he came. Faithfully he bore it, spotless to the last, brought it back victorious when from death he passed. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. 'Tis the Father's pleasure, we should call him Lord, who from the beginning was the mighty Word. Amen. Let's pray. Father, what a gift. What good news of great joy. Father, help us to receive that and to worship you. You are worth it, Lord. You are King of all, Lord of all. Spread your kingdom, Lord, all over the world, even today. Draw in many more men and women, boys and girls, that they see and accept and believe this good news. And that we can together rejoice and worship you. Lord, you are worth it. And we praise you. Amen.